we just heard that President Trump redesignated North Korea as a sponsor of terrorism. What about this war of words between Trump and Kim Jong-un? Could that become a real war? It's become an urgent question as both men have their fingers on the buttons of nuclear weapons. Or do they? The perception in the U.S. is that there is a man with a suitcase, the so-called nuclear football, assigned to trail an American president wherever he goes, and on the president's order, use that football to launch a nuclear strike. But Air Force General John Hyten, commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, was asked at last week's Halifax International Strategic Forum, what would he do if asked by President Trump to launch a nuclear strike?
I provide advice to the president. He'll tell me what to do, and if it's illegal, guess what's going to happen?
You say no.
I'm going to say, Mr. President, that's illegal. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to say, what would be legal? And we'll come up with options of a mix of capabilities to respond to whatever the situation is. And that's the way it works.
I've got a lot of people asking, what is legal? Bruce Blair is a former nuclear missile launch officer. He's co-founder of Global Zero. That's a group that advocates for eliminating nuclear weapons. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to join you.
Well, first of all, tell us, what is a nuclear missile launch officer?
It's a young person like myself who sits down at the bottom of an underground launch center waiting for orders to fire up to 50 missiles armed with nuclear weapons at targets in Russia, China, North Korea, Iran.
Oh.
And,
wow.
And this officer sits there and waits for the order. And once it comes, he checks or she checks the order against codes in their safe, and then process a checklist that takes about 1 minute to fire up to 50 missiles.
Well, that's a pretty intense job, but also I'm thinking one in which you don't do a lot.
Well, you can be busy doing other things like exercises and maintenance of missiles and all sorts of odd jobs.
Yeah, but thankfully not a lot of launching. But I'm sure you've thought a lot about what happens, you know, if you have to. So help us with this, because we know we had recent hearings that were called by congressmen, frankly, concerned about this current president of the United States. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said he is so unstable, so volatile, has a decision-making process so quixotic, he might order a nuclear weapon strike that is wildly out of step with U.S. national security interests. So there were hearings. And in those hearings, we heard from Brian McKeon, a senior military policy advisor in the Pentagon. This was during the Obama administration. He said pretty much you couldn't thwart a president's will to launch a nuclear strike. But we just heard Hyten say, in effect, we thought he said you could. So what is to start with what the president's authority is?
Well, General Hyten would try to talk the president out of making a really bad decision, or certainly an illegal one, whatever that means. It's in the eye of the beholder, frankly. But the president has absolute authority, unilateral power to order the use of nuclear weapons.
We'll have to stop you there because that's what we wanted to know. What is illegal? What is legal? What did he mean?
It's hard to understand what is illegal because we have war plans that would launch thousands of nuclear warheads at targets all over the world, including right now 100 aim points in the greater Moscow area. So whatever has been pre-programmed apparently is considered to be a legal option for the president.
So if a president were, for instance, to say, I would like to strike France, presumably there are no missiles now pointing at France and that would not be legal? I'm being hypothetical, but is that what you're saying?
Well, a strike on France or Canada or someplace would be outlandish. But I think the real concern here is that a president might initiate a nuclear strike without apparent cause in the context of a growing, escalating crisis with North Korea. The generals just have not been very reassuring in suggesting that they would resist an order that's illegal. They have not said that they would resist an order that doesn't really make a lot of sense, that's misguided, that's really a bad call. And they really can't without suggesting that they would be making the decisions on what needs to be done to protect America, not the president.
Not the president. Well, take us through what's supposed to happen. So let's say the president is feeling the need for something. What does he do first?
Well, the president would contact this military aide that carries the satchel with the war plans in it, that's a person that's always by the president's side, and ask to initiate an emergency conference with his advisors. That would include the Secretary of Defense, State Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and most importantly, the Commander of Strategic Forces out in Omaha, like General Hyten. who is the primary talker in a conference about nuclear options. And as General Hyten said, he would tell the president what his options are and their consequences, and then the president would choose one of these prepared options. For example, right now there's an option for attacking North Korea with nuclear weapons, and the president could simply say, let's go for that.
And then he would order, what, the Pentagon to implement it?
That's correct. Listening in on this conversation is the war room in the Pentagon. And once they hear that the president has made a decision, they will challenge the president to authenticate using a special code known as the BISCIT in the president's possession. Once that authentication passes, then the war room in the Pentagon would format and immediately transmit an order to launch nuclear forces. It's the length of a tweet. It would take them 1 or 2 minutes to format and transmit that directly down the chain of command to the executing commanders of the underground launch centers, the submarines, and the bombers. General Hyten and Strategic Command would receive the order at the same time. If they felt that it was a really bad call or illegal and they wanted to try to override it, they could try to transmit a termination order, but it would be too late.
Wow. Well, you know, if all these codes are authenticated, these weapons are fired within a minute or two and within 15 minutes for the submarine. So once it's authenticated, everything goes through quickly. But what if, to go back to the first step, what if that commander, let's say it was Hyten, tells the president, I don't want to give you options, or I don't think you have any options here, I'm refusing to do this. What happens then?
Well, he would just be bypassed, and the president would give the order and authenticate to the war room in the Pentagon, which would immediately implement the president's command. And General Hyten would be no longer really in the picture.
So short of trying to explain to a president whether somebody thinks this is a legal or illegal strike, and as you said, that's kind of hazy anyway, it sounds like short of that, there's really, you know, as you have said at the outset, this really is up to the president.
That's right. In my view, the first use of nuclear weapons is almost invariably going to be illegal because they will cause collateral damage against civilian populations and in other ways violate the law of war. But that's not really the way that it's viewed from the inside.
Well, and just to underscore what you've just said, you're the guy who has run simulators. And as you've said, you know, you've practiced fighting nuclear wars, you know, hundreds of times. And from your view, using them in anything but a defensive way, you know, as a response to a launch from another country is illegal. But that it sounds like you're saying is immoral because, again, there's no legal aspect here.
At any rate, the legal question falls by the wayside if the president has carte blanche to order the use of nuclear weapons and all the means at his disposal to ensure that his decision is quickly implemented.
Look, is there concern in your community, as I expressed, that there is concern on the part of some, you know, in Washington, that this is a particular president who's thin-skinned, who's volatile, who is there particular concern about the way the U.S. has constructed its use of nuclear weapons?
Well, this issue transcends President Trump, but clearly his temperament and character have raised the issue to the surface, and we're now embroiled in a debate about whether there should be more checks and balances on the President of the United States.
And what do you think?
I think there definitely needs to be, and I think a good proposal would be to add more people to the chain of command for the first use of nuclear weapons, and a number of ideas along those lines are percolating and being advanced by the U.S. Congress.
That's Bruce Blair, former missile launch officer. He was the one whose finger would be on that button, a co-founder of Global Zero Now, a group that advocates eliminating nuclear weapons. When did that happen for you, by the way, Bruce, that sense of, wait a second, this is what I'm sure you found it both a privilege and a burden to be in that position. But when did it happen that you said, I don't even, you know, I want to get rid of these?
Well, Robin, I worked my entire career on the risks of the use of nuclear weapons, mostly at the Brookings Institution. And at some point I decided that given the proliferation of weapons to more countries and all of the risks of accidental and unauthorized use, a bad call by an irrational person, that all of those risks just can't be managed indefinitely. We have to eliminate all nuclear weapons, or inevitably they're going to be used probably in our lifetimes. There's really no long-term management of these risks.
And of course, the argument against that would be you never know when a North Korean erratic leader is working on nuclear weapons of his own. So you have to defend against that, and round and round we go.
Bruce, no, you do know. You do know. There's never been a country that has produced enough material for a nuclear weapon without having that project exposed to foreign intelligence, going all the way back to our Manhattan Project during World War II.
Well, so don't you have to have weapons to oppose their weapons?
Yeah. Global Zero supports the multilateral elimination of all nuclear weapons. We're not proposing the unilateral elimination of American weapons while other countries have them.
Right, got you. Bruce Blair, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.